The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Hey, it's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. If you want to give me a call, as usual, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276, and we can talk. We can blab, and that's all you got to do. Easy stuff. All right. Also, if you want, you can email me instead of calling if you want to do that. Email me at info@carm.org, carm.org. If you are so inclined, and then we get some radio questions and things like that. We've got quite a few I can get to. We have four open lines if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Now, yesterday, okay, I'm going to tell you. Okay, so yesterday, all right, after the show, man, we had a battle for probably 3 hours afterwards. And normally when I talk to people, I just want, you know, nice, polite conversation, and let's just, you know, go one-on-one. But yesterday, the gloves were off with two guys, two Unitarians, and, I mean, we just went at it, and, you know, and that's okay. But this one guy kept calling me names, you know, and you're so afraid, it's just like schoolyard stuff. It's just ridiculous. And I was getting a kick out of it, but I thought it went well. It was fun. I got out of my system. Every now and then, every few months, I just want to get in and scrap, and I did. But normally, I don't do that. So, if you were listening to that yesterday, hey, hope you enjoyed it. I thought it ended well. I thought it went well, and we had a lot of good conversation. Tonight, I'll be discussing stuff with Eli Ayala on his show at let's see, 8 p.m. Eastern time. I don't even have the information for that. He'll just call me, gives me a link, I just jump in, we do it. On Friday, I've got a debate with a guy, a discussion debate on the doctrine of the Trinity. Now, I've noticed that lately the doctrine of the Trinity has been under heavy attack. The Unitarians are doing their job. And you know, I have an opinion about the Word of God. I suspect that the Word of God is written in such a way that it will allow people who don't have the Spirit of God in them to wrest the Scriptures to their own destruction. Now, I may sound harsh, but I'm just getting that, because there are verses in the Bible that that Unitarians use to deny the Trinity, deny that Jesus Christ is God in flesh, and they don't care about responses. And whatever you do, respond with something about, you know, the work of God doing things. No, that's just the representation. It doesn't matter. They throw everything underneath the it's a representation rug. And then they interpret things in such a way so that the result of their interpretations means the text says the opposite of what it actually says. So it's really been interesting, and I like to get in there in the mud with the heretics and get around and learn stuff. And I always do. I've been doing this for decades, and I'll be learning even more as I do this. All right. Hey, there you go. Hey, you know, we got, let's see, four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Eric from North Carolina. Eric, welcome. You're on the air.
Thanks so much, Matt. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can, man. Yeah, thanks for calling.
All right, great. Yes, thank you. I wanted to run something by you because I know you are a tech guy and everything. I wanted to ask you, should Christians be concerned about the possibility of AI developing extremely strong, very fast, upgrading itself, and maybe slipping out of our control, becoming a threat to mankind? Anything along those lines?
Yes.
What should Christians kind of...
Yes, absolutely. We should be very concerned. See, what's happening is man is trying to develop its own form of life. AI is that kind of a thing. I can't help but think that the depravity of man, which will result ultimately in the death of mankind unless Christ comes back and puts an end to it. That's my opinion. I teach what's called depressed eschatology. I think part of it is to watch history, to watch mankind bring itself to replace God. And so AI is a kind of movement in that. I'm not saying all AI means you're an antichrist. I'm not saying that. But I wouldn't be surprised if something like that doesn't come to pass. I mean, you know, it's like Skynet out of Terminator. You know, it's like, wow, can it happen? Hey, if they're writing programs that will then start writing their own programs, that's pretty bad. And occasionally I'll read an article or so where they'll do something with AI. And like I read one, the last one I read a week or so ago, they did a test run and had a drone. I don't know if it was a real drone or it was simulated to go out and attack the enemy. And they were doing a run on it. It ended up attacking the control tower because the people in the control tower weren't letting it do what it wanted to do the way it wanted to do it. So it went in and attacked the programmers in this scenario. So, yeah, there's stuff to be concerned about, absolutely.
Right. They're saying, I guess, the point of AGI, the singularity or the AGI point could come just in a couple years where it starts upgrading itself or whatever. Uh-huh. I was just nervous. But as I said, you know, there's passages in the scriptures where, you know, when Christ returns, there's still people on the earth. It's not like, so logically, it can't wipe out everybody eventually because there's people here when Christ returns. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to be here through it. I mean, you know, I wish pre-trib rapture was true, but I just don't see it. I don't see post-millennialism. You know, where evidence is just going to get better. I just don't see that in Scripture. I hope that they're right, and I hope that I'm wrong. But I can't I can't bow to that yet.
What do you think about? There was an article about like AI is already preaching sermons, and all these people are gathering. But how could that have the Spirit of God if it's not? You know,
well, that's interesting because you can. Could you have an individual on a TV preach a sermon, and someone in a church has a room with a TV projector and they hear a sermon? Yes, you can. All right. Can you have an atheist preach a sermon? And the answer is yes. Not that it's okay, but there are atheist pastors out there, and they're not letting themselves be known that they're atheists. But that's their job, so they just go through all the motions, and they can preach the Word of God. So are those sermons good? Well, maybe they are. You know, I got to hear one from an atheist pastor, but maybe they're Christ-centered. Maybe he just knows all the right things to say and do. And I have read articles that, yes, they're out there. There's an increasing number of atheist pastors. Not that many, but there's an increasing number. So can an AI present one? Now, that's a good question. I would think that it would fall under the same kind of a thing of an atheist of preaching a sermon. It's not the deliverer that has the power. It is the message. It is the words of Scripture. So what do you do if an AI is preaching and is quoting Scripture, and let's just say, hypothetically, is exegeting it very well with a historical, redemptive, Christocentric, soteriological system that is covenantal and not dispensational? Let's say it's doing that, and it's doing a very good job. Could people get saved out of it? I believe they could. Do we want to replace pastors with AI? Of course not. But I'm just working through the logic on it. I think it's possible. So who knows what's going to happen?
Can I ask you one last thing real quick?
Sure, go ahead. We have Matt waiting.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm thinking about this. You know, there a lot of people are making this AI into like a doomsday thing, like saying it's a threat against humanity. But, you know, no matter how powerful, no matter how incredibly super intelligent it starts upgrading itself, God is still omniscient and perfectly, he knows, he's just so, I mean, God is still all powerful. There's no way it could thwart, it can't thwart the purposes of Almighty God, you know, does that make sense?
Not at all. You know? Of course. Yeah, they're just programs, and people write programs. They're not outside the purview of God. God is the one who arranged genetic information to exist and put it together in such a way that the incredibly complex structure of DNA, RNA, protein folds, genomes that produce information, that produce a biological life, can self-heal, can grow, can do all kinds of stuff. It's so incredibly complex. No human could produce a machine like that. It's just not possible. He certainly saw over all of that, and he's not going to be thwarted by any AI. Not going to happen.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for that, Matt. I know you used to be a tech guy, so it's kind of cool to hear your thoughts on it. Thanks so much. Okay.
Yeah. No problem, Matt. God bless. All right.
Okay. Thanks, Matt. Bye.
Okay. Hey, you know, I have five open lines if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Yeah, I was a tech guy for a while. I was working as a desk-side tech and doing a little bit of networking and computer repair and things like that, and I enjoy it. And I'm sitting in front of four 27-inch 4K monitors with a really nice box with M.2s in there and just some liquid cool stuff with an i7 and 32 gigs of DDR5. So, I think screen is nice. I love stuff. I have an Oculus. There, I'm touching my Oculus right now. I've got that in my hands. I got wireless stuff going on. And I want to get one of those open fold phones because that's how much I use my phone for research. I do. A lot of times my wife will go to bed and I'll stay up for an hour and I'll just research things online and I'll take notes. So, yeah, I love tech. I think it's very useful. I want to use it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And think about what the CARM website is tech-wise. It's just writing stuff and it goes out over the web. And so my calculations here, the CARM website up to date, up to yesterday, has had 242,992,279 page views, with 156,737,307 visitors, and returning visitors in the lifespan of CARM is 86,520,161. So I keep records, and this is on Excel, and I used to teach Excel. And I can do all kinds of stuff with it. I just love tech. I think it's very useful. And so I urge Christians to use that technology as well. Can it become dangerous? Absolutely. Do people have the habit or a habit of using technology for nefarious purposes? Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do. It's very unfortunate. But we can take those things that belong to God and we can use them for the glory of God. But the unbelievers, what they do is they take the things that belong to God and try and use them for their own glory. And so many of them will deny the Trinity, deny that Jesus is God in flesh, deny his physical resurrection. Mormons who teach that God used to be a man on another planet, you can become a god if you have handshakes. I mean, this is just false teaching. Jehovah's Witnesses that teach and Jesus is Michael the Archangel. The Trinity is not true. Jesus did not die on a cross, but he died on a torture stake and did not physically rise from the dead. Roman Catholicism, which teaches that Mary, by her entering into the divine sacrifice of her son, helped make atonement for our sins. There's no better way to conclude than by looking to Mary. You know, just all kinds of stuff. People just have so many ways of damning themselves with false teachings and avoiding the simplicity of who Christ is. And Jesus says, few people are the ones who find their way to heaven. Few. That's what he said, Matthew 7. Well, there's some uplifting stuff. Hey, give me a call. 5 open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. If you want to join me, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. It's 20 after the hour. And I think I got a little bit of a correction. I'll be on Eli's show tonight at 8:30 Eastern Time. I thought it was 8, but that's okay. And we've got some links to that. I don't know if we can put that up. Maybe Laura could tell me if she can put that link up on the CARM calendar or something like that. We can figure it out. Anyway, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Luke from Washington, D.C. Luke, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm fine. So what do you got?
How can I be sure that I will go to heaven? This is duplicate.
Yes. Recognize your voice. All you have to do is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the true Lord, not the Jesus of Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses or Islam or the false gospel of Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy, not the false God and false gospel of Unitarianism or the cult of oneness Pentecostal. No, you got to trust in Jesus Christ, God in flesh, who died on the cross, rose from the dead, and who you trust in him by faith. Only and completely, and not by faith in baptism, not by faith in your goodness or sincerity. Otherwise, you're saying that the sacrifice of Christ isn't enough. So that's how you can do that. You know that, right?
So you're saying that this Roman Catholic, Orthodox, or other Christian denomination, they're not going to heaven?
No, I'm saying official Roman Catholic theology is Antichrist. Official Eastern Orthodox theology is Antichrist. Official Mormon theology is Antichrist. Official Jehovah's Witness theology is Antichrist. Yeah. Okay.
So those people are workplace religion, so they are not going to heaven.
If they believe those official doctrines of those respective churches that they're members of, then when they die, they will go to eternal damnation.
So what about this Calvinistic view? If you are a Calvinistic view, if you believe in election, predestination, all those things, like me, I'm a Calvinist. We say that once saved is always saved. So that is what they're talking about. How can I be sure that I will go to heaven?
Well, being a Calvinist has no bearing on your assurance of going to heaven. Your assurance is not because of Reformed theology. It's because of faith and trust in Christ. That's it. You either trust in Christ or you don't. That's what the answer is. Okay?
Yeah, faith in Christ, and then Calvinistic, we're saying that the fifth one, preservance of the saints, right? No one can snatch out of from.
Right. Yeah, Jesus says, if you want to go into the, can we lose our salvation? The answer is no, we can't. Otherwise, Jesus would fail to do the will of the Father. Right. Yeah, that's right. But so many people, they want to be able to be good enough to keep themselves right with the infinitely holy God. They think that God lowers his standard for them. Yeah, they say, hey, you know what? God does his best. I can do do the rest. Or we're saved by grace through faith after all we can do. 2 Nephi 25:23. Or the second commandment, or the second requirement in Jehovah's Witness theology, I think it's February 13th, 1981, page 12, Watchtower says you have to keep the commandments. You got to do the right things in order to keep yourself right with the infinitely holy God. This is a false gospel. And the Jehovah's Witnesses teach that. And of course, the Roman Catholics teach it. Paragraph 2068, you obtain salvation through faith, baptism, and the observance of the commandments. No, you don't observe commandments to be good, get salvation with God. You can't. So these are false teachers in false churches teaching false gospels. Okay.
So you think the Pope is going to? The Pope is not going to heaven, right?
I don't know if the Pope is or isn't, but if he believes official Roman Catholic theology, then he's a child of the devil. Okay.
All right. So what about Eastern Orthodox? How do you say that Eastern Orthodox or Oriental Orthodox people? They're not going to heaven, and they're patriarch.
If they believe official doctrines of the Eastern Orthodox Church, then they can't be saved because they teach works righteousness. They teach that, as far as Eastern Orthodox goes, the doctrine of salvation is quite a bit. It is different, but it's not different in their group. But they teach that justification is an impartation of righteousness that begins at conversion and continues throughout the life of the Christian or as the member of their church as you become more conformed to the image of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So what they say is you can't be in a state of justification right now because it's a process through your whole life. Well, how do you participate in the process by going to their church with their sacraments. You do their things that they say, and they'll say the energy. This they and the Catholics do this. They'll say the same thing, is that you do these good works by the power of God, and it's by His grace. So therefore, it's by grace that you're saved. But you have to do those works. But those works are from God. And in response to that, in fact, after the 3 hours I spent discussing stuff after the show yesterday, I went and ate, and then I got back online. I went online in the virtual world, and I was there for 45 minutes debating in a room on Catholicism. And I was going through this very thing. And one of the Catholics there said that we do works in the grace of God. I quoted this to him in Titus 3:5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, the scriptures are clear. And the older I get, the more I do this, the more I am convinced that God's word is written so that those who have ears to hear and eyes to see will see and they'll hear, and those who don't will become Roman Catholics, or Eastern Orthodox, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Muslims, and stuff like that.
Yeah, they say, and they always claim that they are the apostolic church, apostolic succession. They are the original church. They gave us Bible. And first century people, and we are all separated from the church, you know.
Yeah, I hear that kind of stuff from them. They gave us the Bible. They have the true church. And, you know, I hear this so many times from different cults and stuff like that, and, you know, variations of it. I just get bored with it. It's, you know, just another only true church. And, you know, I just say, look, just stop with the self-aggrandizement. This is ridiculous. It says, your church didn't give us the Bible. God did. He didn't give us the Old Testament. God did. And He worked it through the apostles in the New Testament, and He provided it through there to them. And the church, the true believers, recognized the voice of God, His sheep. And that's how it worked. But you see, the thing is, these systems, these churches, this is what's so common about them. They want to be the ones who take the place of God. And now, when they hear me say that, they're going to reject that. See, man, that's just not our position. I'm going to say, well, yes, it is. Of course it is. And after the break, I'll tell you how. I'll tell you how these churches, what they do is they seek to replace God. After these messages, please stay tuned, folks. 4 open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, 4 open lines, 877-207-2276. Biblicist, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Okay. So are you saying that is apostolic succession biblical or not? Because they always claim that apostolic succession.
No, it's not. Let me explain how they replace... They replace Christ with our church, okay? Because in these groups, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Eastern Orthodoxy, Roman Catholicism, salvation, true salvation, is found in their church. Faith must be in their church or their restored church. The authority is in their church. The improper interpretation of the Bible is from their church. Apostolic succession and authority is in their church. Forgiveness is found in their church. The true sacraments are in their church. And so, because of this, all other churches are ultimately false, even though they might have some truth in them. And their church is the true church revealed by God. So you must be a member of their true church, participate in the ordinances of their true church. And if you leave their true church, you risk losing salvation, because salvation is found in their organization, their church. So they use the Bible and they use Jesus to bolster their church, but they're really replacing him. And they add revelation to God's word in support of their true church. Their church is what's central. Their organization is what's central. It's the authority, not Jesus. You see, these false groups teach that salvation's in their church. Well, the Bible says salvation's in Jesus. They say you got to have faith in their church. The Bible says have faith in Jesus. They say the authority's in their church. Well, the Bible says the authority's in Christ. They say the proper interpretation of the Bible is in their church. Jesus taught us how to interpret Scripture. Believe it or not, it's in Scripture. Apostolic succession is in their church. Well, you know what? We just look straight to Christ. They'll say forgiveness is found in their church. No, we say forgiveness is found in Jesus. And so they do these kind of things, and functionally just replacing Jesus with their church. And then they use the Scriptures in Jesus to verify their church. And one of the things they try and do is have apostolic succession. The authority passed down from the apostles to them. They have it. Now, it's just a load of theological crap, that's all. So, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Other thing. They're saying that Catholic Church, the mother church. The Catholic Church is the mother church. The same way, Eastern Orthodox and Oriental Orthodox Church, they claim that we are the church. We originated with the Christ and the apostles, and is therefore we are the oldest church. And, everyone is separated from us. Orthodox says that we, Catholics separated from us. And Catholics, we are Orthodox separated from us. And Protestants separated from us.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they make these claims, and they claim them. And then what I do is just ask them to show that to me in Scripture. And then they don't, because it's not there in Scripture. You know, one of the things I'll ask them, they'll also appeal to the Church Fathers. You know, the Church Fathers taught what we taught. And I was working up a list of some stuff here. Let me see if I can find it. Questions I wanted to ask. Let's see, what kind of questions? Oh, I don't know if I can find it really quickly and easily. I should have been looking for it during the break, but didn't even think about it until now. But there's a lot of things that, let's see if I can find it. Questions from, questions on, questions about, questions. Whoa, look at this. I got a lot of stuff. I got a lot of work I've done. Anyway, I asked them what kind of thing, if the Catholics and the Eastern Orthodox, I'll say, so the Church Fathers taught what you guys teach, right? Okay, good. Show me the Church Fathers that taught the Assumption of Mary or the Immaculate Conception. Show it to me. It's not there. But they say, well, the Church Fathers agree with them. Really? Well, then why is it not there? Can you show it to me? I don't get it, you know. And did all the Church Fathers believe in the Apocrypha? No, they did not, all of them, that's for sure. Some did, but a lot of them did not. You know, I ask questions all the time and stuff. To me, it's just irritating. You know, I do this because I believe I'm called by God to do this kind of a thing, and I believe He's equipped me to do it. But I get irritated with so many people who just ignore the simplicity of who Christ is. Second person of the Trinity, God in flesh. Turn to Him. Look to Him. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Don't trust a church. Don't trust any church. Trust Jesus. Now, if you go to a church, that's fine, but check out what the church says against Scripture. That's what you do. And people just want to give themselves over to some authoritative system so they stop being responsible. And it's just horrible that they do that. But they do. It's really bad, really sad. Anyway. Okay.
Thank you, Matt.
Sure. Okay. Any more questions?
I will. That's for tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good. All right. Well, thanks for calling, buddy. All right. Hey, folks, if you want to call me, 5 open lines, 877-207-2276. Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about all this because for me, I'm not the authority or anything. You don't trust a guy named Slick on the radio. I mean, it's just not a good move. But you should always check everything I say against Scripture. I mean, that's just a gimme. You just check everything I say, and you should. But, I've been doing this for so long, and a lot I've been doing this. I mean, I've been doing this a lot. You know, I mean, just so many years and years. And I've had thousands upon thousands of conversations with people on these kind of topics. Thousands of hours. Literally thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of discussions. And I see the common denominators. And one of the things that really irritates me, it just does, is this idea that salvation is found in our true church. I just roll my eyes, like, oh, you know, I want to say, would you stop? Our true church, you know, the Mormon church is the restored church. The Jehovah's Witness organization is the restored church. The apostolic succession and the true church of Catholicism, or somehow in the true church called Eastern Orthodoxy. You know, I hear people say things like this, and I just, like, you know, drop my head back on my chair and go, hey, hey, hey. You know, it's about their church, their, you know, organization. And they don't realize. The Holy Spirit bears witness of Jesus, not a church. The prophets bear witness of Jesus, not a church. And it's ridiculous when so many people, they just work so hard at just working against the Lord. You know, I have an article, which many of my projects, I want to turn this into a book, 100 Truths About Jesus. And it took me a couple of years to put this list together because as I was reading the Bible, hey, look, there's another one, you know, and I would read stuff like that and write it in this list. So check this out. Let's see. I go in the middle of this list. 100 Truths About Jesus, starting at about, there we go, number 41. Now, remember, here we go. So many churches bear witness of their own church. And I listen to Roman Catholic radio pretty regularly because when I'm bored, I want to listen to heresy. That's my idea of a good time. I listen to heresy. And I listen to the Catholics always talk about coming home to the church and callers come, look, I'm coming back to the church, you know, or I found the truth in the church. It's just ridiculous. I just roll my eyes a lot. So, get this. Jesus bears witness of himself in John 8:18. That's what he says, right? He does. Jesus' works bear witness of himself, John 5:36. The Father bears witness of Jesus, John 5:37 and 8:18. The Holy Spirit bears witness of Jesus, John 15:26. The multitudes bear witness of Jesus, John 12:17. The prophets bear witness of Jesus, Acts 10:43. The Scriptures bear witness of Jesus, John 5:39. The Father will honor us if we serve Jesus, John 12:26. The Father wants us to fellowship with Jesus, 1 Corinthians 1:9. The Father tells us to listen to Jesus, Luke 9:35. Everyone who's heard and learned from the Father comes to Jesus, John 6:45. We come to Jesus, John 5:50. And there's so many more. Maybe what I'll do is after the break, I'll go through some more of these if we get past the callers here, because we got a couple coming in. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the last segment of the hour. If you want to give me a call, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Patrick from Charlotte, North Carolina. Patrick, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. This is Patrick. I'm on the Clubhouse a lot, and I just want to say hi to all my Clubhouse friends. My question is John 1:6-7.
Okay. You mean what, verses 6 and 7 or John 1:67?
No, 1, verse 6 and 7.
Okay, there came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all men might believe through him. Okay.
So, what did John the Baptist testify about Jesus?
That he was the light.
Well, no,
he was the truth.
He actually, John 1:34, it says, it says, I have seen and testified that this is the Son of Man, or Son of God.
Right, Son of God, right.
How can Jesus be God if John the Baptist testified he was the chosen one, the Son of God?
Because that's what it means, the Son of God. Where'd you get off thinking that the term Son of God means he's not God? Where'd you get that?
Well, because at Jesus' baptism, God himself said, this is my Son, I'm well pleased.
So the Father said that. God the Father said it. Okay. That's God the Father. We believe in the Trinity. Okay. And besides, God calls Jesus God. God calls Jesus God in Hebrews 1:8. He says, but of the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. So what do you do with that?
Well, it's because of what John the Baptist was sent to testify, and his testimony is that he's not the Son of God.
Okay. No, that he is the Son of God. That's what it means. You know what the term Son of God means? Do you know what the term Son of God means from Scripture?
Well, yes, the Son of God is not God. It's not the Creator God.
Oh, okay. It's not. Okay. Well, let's go to Mark 1, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God, right?
Right, not God.
Okay. As is it written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send a messenger ahead of you. So the messenger is ahead of who? Who's the messenger? Who is that?
The messenger is John the Baptist, and he was sent to testify about the light.
I just asked a question. I just said, who is it? That's all it is, okay? The messenger is Jesus. And he's sent ahead of who? He says, ahead of you. Who is that? Who's he sent ahead of?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist is sent ahead of John the Baptist?
No, John the Baptist was the messenger.
Who was sent ahead of who?
Jesus.
Good. So he says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, that's John the Baptist, make ready the way of the Lord. That's Jesus, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a phrase from Isaiah 40, verse 3. Make ready the way of the Lord. The word Lord there is Yahweh. In Hebrew, make ready the way of Yahweh. So Mark is the one who's attesting to us that the term Son of God in reference to Christ means he's Yahweh. Now, when are you going to repent?
Well, no. Because of John 1:6-7, if you had just read, it says John was sent to be a testify and witness to the truth.
Pat, you don't set Scripture against Scripture. You went to John 1:6-7 that he talked about the Son of God. I got that. Then we went to Mark 1, we're talked about the Son of God. And what the Scriptures say the Son of God is, and yet you ignore that. What you are doing is denying who Christ is. You are bringing damnation upon yourself, and you're trying to teach your Antichrist doctrine over my radio show.
No, because you just admitted, John, Jesus is the Son of God. So how can he be God?
The term Son of God in the context of Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John the Baptist was sent ahead of the Son of God. The Son of God is the one that John the Baptist prepared the way for. And Jesus is the Son of God. He's the one John the Baptist prepared, and the Scripture says, make ready the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord, that's Jesus. And that's a phrase, make ready the way of the Lord, in Hebrew, is make ready the way of Yahweh. Jesus is said to be Yahweh in those verses.
But the baptism of Jesus, God himself said, this is my son, and well pleased.
I got that. I got that. I got that. I got that. You're not listening. Let me go over this one more time, briefly. I'm going to explain it to you. You are stuck on the idea that the term Son of God means he's not God. I'm showing you from the Scripture where the term Son of God means he is God. I show it to you from Scripture, and you just ignore it, and you go on to more of your Antichrist theology. And I've explained it to you, and we're done, because I've explained it so many times, and you are like a dog that returns to his vomit. And you go back after the false teachings, you lap them up, and you keep chewing on the same stuff that you need to regurgitate and get rid of. Let's get to Chris from North Carolina. Chris, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir, Matt. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. You know, no problem. What's up, man?
I had called you a few weeks ago and asked you about 1 Kings 13, starting at verse 11, where it says, now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the work that the man of God had done today in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Then they told that also to their father, and their father said unto them, what way went he? And so it goes on to talk about that the guy went and met him, and told him that an angel had spoke to him and told him to come to his house, told the man of God to come to his house and eat bread with him. But the Lord had told the man of God not to eat bread or drink water in that place. And my wife had asked me a good question. She said, well, why did the old prophet lie to the man of God? I said, well, I ain't sure.
And I have to look it up. I have to look it up. Let me. Okay, here's another thing. I got to do my list of stuff here. 1 Kings 13, 6, or 11 through 19.
11. Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah. Did the old prophet lie? Okay. I'm just going to have to put that on my list of things. It's just, I got so much, that's all. And I don't have a good answer for you at the top of my head.
Okay.
Interesting.
Because it goes around right before the very end, right before the end of verse 18, it says, bring him back with thee into thine house that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. And then it says, so he went back with him and did
house. Yeah, like I said, I'm going to have to research it because I don't have time to sit here on the air and just go through it. But what I just did as I took your thing there and I made a statement and I put it on my list of questions to do, 1 Kings 13, 11 through 19, did the old prophet lie? And that's in my list of 68 questions, which I have to add to my other list of, hold on a sec. Drum roll, of 663 questions I have to add. I have to categorize them in there. And, oh, man, hey. You know, somebody actually, a friend of mine actually suggested I take a camera and film myself doing everything I do because he was here for a day once. And he goes, man, he goes, how do you do everything? I says, well, not very well, apparently. I'm dropping the ball everywhere. So I got so much on my plate. I need a lot of helpers. That's just me whining a little bit, but it's just a good thing. There's so much to do. So there you go.
But I'm glad you set that previous call straight.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous. You know, it's just, why do people work so hard at damning themselves? I wish they would just believe who Jesus is. And, you know, he's God in flesh. I mean, that's what the Bible says. John 1:1 and verse 14. You know, and Colossians 2:9 and Hebrews 1:8 and so many places, and they just deny him. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's been my experience that people that do that are simply looking for a loophole to be able to live the way that they want to live.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Well, yeah, look, you're right.
Thank
they are.
You, sir. And I'll check
you're
back
welcome.
With you later, Matt.
All right. Please do. Keep bugging me. All right.
All right.
Okay. All right, man. God bless. All right. Yeah, it's an interesting world I live in. You know, some people they have normal lives. My life is so different. You know, I was just thinking about it. What I do is so radically different than so many people. I was out someplace and someone, you know, said, we got talking, you know, what do you do for a living? How do I explain that, you know? Well, you know, what I do is I debate theology, write theology, do radio, write books, work on my website, go into various rooms on the internet and try and teach biblical theology to people and answer questions, deal with atheists, deal with Muslims, do it, you know, in order to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ to everybody that I can. And people are staring. That's what you do? Yeah, I know. I'm smiling, you know. It's like, yeah, I know. I said, you know, it's not like being a mechanic or a doctor. You know, you get 9 to 5, whatever it is, you go home and stuff like that. So, you know, I get a kick out of it. And I'm so privileged. I really am. I'm so exceedingly privileged to be able to do what I do. And don't think I think I'm better than anybody else. I don't. I just say, I'm privileged to do what I do, and you're privileged by God to do what you do. If He's called you to do what He's called you to do, where you're at, wherever it is, that season of life where you're at, that's a privilege from you, or from God to you, even in those situations. I know. But what about sickness? I get into that, you know. But the thing is, He calls us, and I'm so blessed to be able to try and serve Him, and be able to give answers to people. And that's one more thing. I don't do this very often, but I want to thank the radio network, because there's a lot of stuff I can't tell you, a little bit behind the scenes stuff, and the guys are great. You know, Keith is okay. I don't know about Keith, but he's, you know, they're okay. But they're great there at the headquarters, and Stu, who owns the network and everything, he's great. And there's so many people that just love the Lord. And they could get better people, or I guess they could. Maybe they're lower standard. I don't know. But they have given me a platform to be able to preach and teach. And think of that network, you know, truthnetwork.com, and email them. And not only listen to me, but listen to others who are on the network, because it's an effort for the glory of God to use the people of God. Amen. Hey, there's the music, and I've got to get going. May the Lord bless you. I will be, Lord willing, back on there tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. All right, everybody, God bless. We'll see you then. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.